Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
That is caught! Touchdown! Oh, my gosh! How did that happen? He got it from 59 yards away for the win!
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
I don't know about you guys, but I have been looking forward to this show for an awful long time. We just haven't had a significant Jaguars This Week in a while. Not since before the draft. And that it would happen the week of training camp makes me appreciate the show a whole lot more.
I'm looking forward to my apology from Loggeman.
About what?
What was that?
About doubting that this thing was going to get started on time.
Wait,
no, this ought to be good.
I thought, and you were saying that it was going to get done last week.
I think it was done last week.
Sunday is actually a part of the new week.
Okay.
Monday is certainly part of the new week. But it was good. I'm just glad it got done.
Right.
But you know that there are some unfortunate pieces to the agreement, and that you know, it's still a mad rush.
Yeah.
You know, and people still don't know exactly what they're doing. Some guys are not going to be able to practice right out of the get-go.
Well, let's go right there for the moment, since we were talking about it with Bill Prescott a moment ago, and that is, so the Jaguars reportedly agreed to a deal with Paul Posluszny, the middle linebacker from the Buffalo Bills. When he signs on Friday evening, he still can't practice till next Thursday. That's what you're alluding to, right?
Yeah,
right.
Because they've got to go through the recertification process before the unrestricted free agents are eligible.
Any restricted free agent and any unrestricted free agent cannot practice until August 4th. I don't know why. And then that kind of brings another question to the forefront, because in the collective bargaining agreement, you had a required three practices and no pads. Is that going to apply to these free agents once they sign? After August 4th. So are they going to have to go out there and when the team's in pads and they're not going to be in pads for three practices? I mean, and you know what? When you ask questions to a lot of people right now in this organization and other organizations, they're still trying to find the answers to a lot of that.
Right. The answer to that question that you just asked is most people don't know. It's got something to do with decertification and it's written, but there's really no logical reason for it.
There is no logical reason, but we understand that that's kind of the rules when it comes to recertifying the union,
right?
And labor, whatever, you know. But there, like I said, there are a lot of people still trying to find out exactly what the rules are. I'm looking at the information that's flying around the wire. Has anybody but the Philadelphia Eagles signed a draft pick?
The
Raiders signed one.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed their first three. By the way, when you just said the wire, Joe just smiled. That's an old radio term. He was glad to hear you say that. The wire, not the net, the wire. You just you made Joe feel like he was back in the 70s for just a moment.
It's just still considered the wire.
I can hear the ticker going now.
But you're right. Not many teams have done that.
No.
The Buccaneers, the Raiders have one in. The Jaguars have five draft choices, none of whom are signed. Doesn't sound like that's going to be an arduous process to get that done, but they're not in the meeting right now.
I have a feeling that at the end of today, tomorrow, there's going to be a release. I mean, come on. The way, and I'm sure some of that is understanding what you can and can't do with the rookie contracts and how they're going to be structured, and there's going to be very little haggling. That's the beauty of this new collective bargaining agreement when it comes to rookies, is that there should be virtually no holdouts going forward. The only argument that you're going to have, I think, essentially for the first-round draft picks, because that's where the argument has always come from for the most part, is going to be over guaranteed money.
And it's in year five. If you want the fifth year, right? I mean, that was what we were talking about earlier, is that the fifth year has a guarantee. For instance, for Blaine Gabbert, who's the 10th pick, he'll be the top.
Well, you can argue over the fifth year, but you can also argue over the amount of guaranteed money up to a certain point.
Okay.
From the way I understand it.
Well, I mean, if we're having trouble, I mean, these guys had to really deal with it. I mean, they're kind of on the phone all the time with people in New York. What do we do here?
Well, it was funny because, you know, over the weekend when they had the meeting with club personnel. The one in Atlanta, like, you know, Gene Smith obviously was there. Bill Prescott was there. And from talking to Bill a little while ago, he was telling me, he said, you wouldn't believe how fast they went over the information. And he said that, you know, it was almost like you wanted to have one of the old reporters' recording devices and put it up in front of the lectern and say, you know, and you got 32 of them, so everybody can record exactly what they're saying to get the rules down to a T. And then some of the people in the audience, Bill said, had follow-up questions, and sometimes they didn't have the answer. It was, we're going to have to get back to you on that.
Right.
Because, I mean, they're still
trying
to figure it out.
And they had someone with
a
reporter, right.
Which is probably why a lot of teams haven't signed a lot of draft picks. And I saw somebody tweeted last night, free agency is very slow. I think a lot of it is there are still people at certain steps probably stopping the process and saying, I need to call somebody, I'll get back with you. And it's just not a shotgun start type of thing because there's a lot of rules that aren't known.
Well, and I have a feeling that because you can't actually sign them, you know, until when?
Friday at 6 in the evening.
They can't practice officially until Thursday. Doesn't that kind of put the, hey, let's get all these other things kind of squared up. Let's get in the conversation, and I'm sure some of the agents are saying, hey, look, they can't sign until Friday, so what's the rush?
Right.
Let's get as many players in this game as we possibly can.
And I wonder if that's by design from the union's perspective.
Well, no, it's by design from the agent's perspective. I mean, the agent, he would be doing a – no offense to Paul Posluszny's agent.
Sure.
But you would do your client somewhat of a disservice if you didn't play out the whole window. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the money may grow.
And I want to talk about Paul Posluszny, but first, let's give folks an idea of where the Jaguars are at. They had 60 players under contract, and yesterday the Jaguars agreed to terms with 24 undrafted rookies to give them 84.
Let me just add a little note to that. The way I understand it, as we kind of had talked about, that Gene Smith would be very prepared. My understanding was is that he was very prepared, and the moment that the ringer went off, said start, they got who they wanted.
What,
and there were other teams that were not quite prepared for
which
that.
Which is significant because it started earlier than anybody thought. It was supposed to start at 10 a.m. Tuesday.
And
this
it did
thing
not.
Started Monday night.
That's right.
Nobody expected it, and these guys
and a lot of people weren't prepared for
done.
That Monday night.
And I've heard it was, I wouldn't want to say chaotic, frenzied, and something nobody had ever experienced before. But I also got the impression they were very happy with what they got.
They were very happy with who they got, from what I understand, and they said, we have no regrets. We got who we wanted.
Right, well, the names, I mean, obviously we're talking about small schools, South Dakota State, Grand Valley State, Florida International, Northern Arizona. A couple of names, though, that I heard. The receivers I heard they were excited about. Armin
Virginia
Binns.
Guy.
He's on the list?
They got a Virginia
right,
guy.
There's one big guy. Yeah, he's a big guy, too, 6'3", 198. They got a couple of receivers, some big guys. I heard the cornerbacks were guys that had a lot of potential.
The some of the schools were kind of funny. I didn't even know there was Colorado School of Mine.
I knew about that one in Leadville.
Is that a real school?
Yeah, it sure is.
You don't.
What is it?
Division II in Leadville. Colorado School of Mines.
Of Mines.
Mark. S-C-H-I-E-C-H-L.
What do you think
You've
got
to bring
you
your hard hat to beat that team.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Listen, now he's getting comfortable in here when he's making jokes on the air. Yeah. But this is what Gene does. Gene finds football players. And you look at it, and there's people going, wow, where did he come up with these guys? Well, the tight end, for instance, Kyle Miller, is from Mount Union. Well, Cecil Shorts was at Mount Union.
That's right.
So when they did their homework on Cecil Shorts, they looked at
good receiving tight end.
That's what they do. Kevin Rutland is a cornerback from Missouri. So, you know, there's a couple of – there's a running back from Louisiana State. So they've got some guys here. Oh, the linebacker from Connecticut, Lutris, 6'3", 241, big guy. Heard he runs pretty well.
You know, the funny thing is that I remember hearing a long time ago, a scout gave me an analogy one time. He said, if we gave you a project to scout this this left tackle and a left guard, and you watched them play against this one particular school, and this guy gave up three sacks, how would you grade them? You know, and the correct answer is what about the defensive end?
Right.
You know, so – when you're there looking at certain targeted players, Cecil Shorts, Blaine Gabbert, and you happen to see somebody else while you're there, hey, you take notes and say, hey, I like that guy.
You have something to say? Sure. The microphone's right there for you anytime you want it, Joey.
But I was not surprised at all that the Jaguars came out and bam, 24 undrafted rookies signed. And I don't think there was any other team that did that.
Some teams announced quickly, but not
like that.
Yeah, not like that, right.
Hey, we got our 24. Bang, it's done.
And the guys that they wanted, too. So
we knew that would be priority number one.
All right, so they got 84 players. They've obviously got five draft choices we expect them to be. So there's 89. They've got Adam Podlish, who's sitting out there. And they now have Paul Posluszny, who they've agreed to terms with. So, you know, they're at 91 if both Podlish comes back and they have Posluszny sign. So now they've got to start lopping these guys off, or someone else, obviously.
You could take a look at them. You know, that's the beautiful part about it, is that, you know, you bring them in, you take a look at them. And
you can't have Posluszny until next week anyway.
No.
So let's take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about Paul Posluszny. The Bills and the Jaguars have played every year since he came into the league. We've got plenty to talk about. John Osher is here. More to come. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna from Everbank Field in Jacksonville on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. It's back to football night tomorrow, presented by Florida Blue, 5-9. The first 300 people to register at the Florida Blue tent prior to practice on July 28th receive a VIP ticket for a free smoothie and access to reserved bleacher seats. Quantities are limited, and tickets are needed for VIP access. That's tomorrow night, Florida Blue. Back to football, 5-9 here at the Florida Blue practice facility. Ryan Sexton, John Osher, Jeff Loggeman, John Dineen, Joe Fortunato. Loggy, we've seen plenty of Paul Posluszny. Jaguars have agreed to terms with him. His agent, no less, has reported that. Mm-hmm. But nothing's official. The club has nothing to say on it until after 6 o'clock on Friday night. What say you based on what you've seen from him over the last couple of years?
He's a good player. A very good football player. He's physical. He's got speed, leadership. I know that they liked him very much coming out of Penn State. The only issue that he's had has been an availability issue. He's missed a lot of games in his career. I guess you could say somewhat similar to a Justin Durant, but when he has been on the field, he has reached his potential in that he has been a very good football player. I wouldn't say elite football player, but a very good football player, and he will be a great addition to the Jaguars defense, and that's what they need. They got to have linebackers, and certainly they're not done yet. One of the safety targets, you know, the Chargers safety,
Eric Weddle.
Weddle.
Yeah. Boy, did he get paid.
Going back to San Diego at an astronomical number.
More than Polamalu, more than Reed. He's the highest paid safety in the game.
I mean, I think it was Joe, $19 million we were looking at today in guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money for a safety.
It's about $8 million a year for him, and not the premier ball hawk playmaker. I mean, he's a good player, but I think he had two interceptions last year, or two sacks and four interceptions.
You've got to be a ball hawk type of safety to command that kind of money, and obviously when the price tag gets that high.
Well, let me go back to Posluszny. He's a middle backer, right? I mean, he's the true
Mike. He's a Mike, you know, but the way the Jaguars play, you know, all three linebackers cross train.
So is he on the field during nickel?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're not going to pay a guy that kind of money and not expect him to be on the field. He can play on that field.
Okay.
As a nickel backer, I don't think that'd be an issue at all. Darryl Smith can also play on nickel, although Darryl's not getting any younger, you know. So you'd like to have a linebacker that runs like a healthy Justin Durant,
right?
You know, to play in a nickel situation. But you know, the other thing that Darryl gives you is the ability to be a rusher. You know, and they also dabble in that 3-3 package where they have three down linemen and Darryl's kind of floating around and rushes the passer a little bit. So you got to get another linebacker still, whether it's, you know, re-signing, you know, one of their own or trying to find somebody else, you know, on another team. That's a position that needs some depth.
Because right now you've got Darryl Smith, Paul Posluszny, and Russell Allen essentially as your starters because Durant is not under contract. Doesn't appear they're going to bring him back. Kirk Morrison is not under contract. I don't think he's a guy.
Yeah, and I wonder if Posluszny's signing would prohibit a Kirk Morrison re-signing.
You know, think Kirk could play outside?
Well, no. I would think that Posluszny would probably be a better fit at weak side and leave Kirk, you know, as the true middle. You know, but I don't know. I don't know what their thinking is on that. Is Posluszny a true Mike, or could he be a weak side too? You know, here's a guy that's been banged up. You know, and the Mikes are usually the bangers, you know, at least in the old school terms.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I'm not sure what the thinking is there.
Everything I read coming out of Buffalo was one of his reasons for leaving was that he was going back inside in a 4-3 instead of playing that 3-4 that they're shifting to up in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, inside, you know, when you a 4-3, you really only have, you know, if you traditional 4-3, you really only have one true outside linebacker. The other one is a covered up middle linebacker that can really doesn't have any cover linemen in front of him. So I mean, it could be either way. But playing in a 3-4, a middle linebacker, the way the Pittsburgh Steelers do it, it's great because they really don't play a true 3-4. They place every variation that you could possibly imagine. But him getting into a true 4-3 is what the background he came from is going to benefit him.
All right, how difficult is it for him? Because one of the knocks on Kirk Morrison last year was that he never really learned the Jaguars' defense. And now you've got a guy who's coming in without an offseason like Kirk had last year. He won't practice till next week at the very earliest. He seems like a bright guy. That's the word on him. You've played the middle linebacker position. How difficult is it for him to learn it and be effective in this first year here?
It's not that much. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's been around for a while. The terminology may be a little bit different. And even though he can't sign until, you know, what is it, Friday?
Friday afternoon.
Can't practice until Thursday. That's going to give him virtually 6 days to learn the vocabulary, you know, of the defense. And I don't think that's an issue from my understanding. He's a smart guy.
Right, right. A couple of other thoughts. We've seen Clint Sessions when we've played the Colts.
Fierce hitter.
And do you think he's a guy they should look for considering the way they play defense here?
Yeah, I like watching Clint Session. And, John, you obviously have a lot of upfront experience with him. But the one thing that I really liked about him, at times some of his stuff was reckless, borderline illegal. He leads with his head quite a bit. But he is a vicious striking linebacker. And he's quick.
And very aggressive. I mean, he'll he's sort of the classic guy who will, if he makes a mistake, it's going to be a mistake of aggression. I would say he needs veteran players around him to sort of keep him, I don't say calm, but sort of keep him focused. Gary Brackett served that purpose very well for him in Indianapolis. And, you know, the veteran that, you know, seems to be coming in, I think could do the same thing for him here. So I think it'd be a good fit. And he's that aggressive guy who's going to make a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Get a couple of other names here. And this is not their typical, you know, young or rising player. But what about Nick Barnett, right, from the Green Bay Packers? Is that a guy that they might be interested in or that you might think they should be interested in based on what he's done?
He's a good player. He's not in the same category as Posluszny.
Right.
I don't think he has the open field ability of a Posluszny, but I mean, right now they just need backers.
Right.
You know, I mean, they need veteran linebackers. And there comes a point where, hey, we got to get some guys. You know, we don't want to be overly picky here. We just need to get some guys in here and coach them up.
All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and news is, of course, next year on News Talk Radio WOKV. You can become a part of Jaguars Advantage, which is the Jaguars' new fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. More to come. Another half hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. All right, rolling right along here. 24 minutes left in the program. Jaguars This Week live from Everbank Field. Training camp begins tomorrow evening. Well, it begins tomorrow morning at 10:30. But tomorrow night is Back to Football presented by Florida Blue 5-9 right here at the Florida Blue practice facility. We talked a little bit about Paul Posluszny. Safeties out there. There were three top safeties, I think, that everybody agreed on in free agency. Quentin Michael, the Philadelphia Eagle, who is now a St. Louis Ram. Eric Weddle, who was a Charger and remains that. And Dwan Landry, who has played it alongside Ed Reed for the last couple of seasons, 5 years, I think.
And the other one was Huff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Michael Huff. Exactly. I'm sorry. Don't want to forget him. So, you know, if the Jaguars are going to dramatically improve that position with a veteran presence, unless there's someone under the radar that they've identified as a rising player, and we wouldn't know that, they've got to get active here in the next couple of days and grab one of those guys. And I didn't see a whole lot of Huff. He gave up the game-winning touchdown here to Jason Hill against the Raiders. So that's about all I know about him. not a bad tackler.
No, the nice thing about him is that he actually has the ability to play some corner. You know, so he could give you some flexibility, you know, when you get into nickel and dime situations that he could play, you know, a nickel position, a corner position, or whatever. He, you know, he's certainly not a liability in coverage. So from a coverage standpoint, he may be one of the better options.
Okay, and Landry is a guy, and that's what you need, by the way, here is a free safety, right? Is a guy who can roam center field.
Yeah, because, you know, you think you got a thumper.
In Courtney Green.
So, you know, you'd like to have a guy that might be a little bit more, you know, field ready, I guess you could say.
Right.
Play in some space, have some closing speed, and Huff's got some of that. You know, the only concern with him is that when Warren Sapp says something kind of negative about you, holy cow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that does not give you a good warm feeling. Hey, we haven't seen him in a couple of years. We closed out the 08 season in Baltimore and saw Dwan Landry. He played right next to Ed Reed, one of the premier safeties in this game. Do you have much of a sense of what kind of a player he could be here?
No, I mean, I haven't seen him.
We haven't seen much of the Ravens.
You know, yeah, so I know that he's respected as one of the top safeties, but, you know, I can't say from firsthand experience. And, you know, usually the Jaguars have, you know, some common opponents, but they really haven't had
much with them.
You know,
yeah.
So can't say anything from recent memory.
All right, you know, the Jaguars have Gene Smith, and he hasn't said a whole lot, but if you talk to people, it's defense, it's the back end of the defense. They've led us that now and then because those were areas that needed to be fixed. Where else might this team look? There's money to spend in free agency here. Would anything surprise you?
I would not be surprised with any position. I mean, I really wouldn't be. I think that, you know, you've got reportedly, what, $35 million to spend. There's talk about how you can borrow from future year's cap. To me, I think this team is looking to make some big improvements. And so, you know, Gene is a best available player in the draft. And if you're a best available player when it comes to drafting, why wouldn't you be a best available player when it comes to free agency too?
If you've got the checkbook.
You know, and they've got it. You know, they've got the room, you know. So, but you just don't want to spend it just because you have it.
That's cold, hard cash.
You know, so you want to make sure that you do it wisely. And if they, you know, the one thing about Gene is that he's going to evaluate everybody, whether it's a priority position or not. Mm-hmm. And if he sees value in adding a player to a position that may not be of that great of a need, he's going to add the value. So to me, I would not be surprised if they sign even a running back, you know, wide receiver, a tackle. Nothing would surprise me.
What do you think?
You know, it would not surprise me to see him address wide receiver at sort of a second tier type level. You know, same with defensive end, interior offensive line. You know, you just never know. I mean, but wide receiver makes some sense, as Jeff said. If Gene sees somebody that he thinks is going to add significant value, I don't think he's going to go for need at those positions. And I'd be surprised if they don't obviously add another linebacker and a safety.
And maybe a corner. I mean, this is a division with the Colts and the Texans.
I said it, what, last week? You know, corner? Because, let's face it, I mean, that's a premium position. If you can get improvement there, you'll take everything you get. Look at the rookie free agent list, how many corners are on that list.
Now you've got a safety, and you've got 1, 2, 3 corners. So you've got 4 defensive backs.
You
know,
so a corner, if they go that route, I don't think it'll be somebody that most people are very familiar with. I think it'll be a third or fourth. I mean, a fourth year guy, who people kind of go who, and they'll get mad because they didn't sign somebody else,
right,
and he'll come in and he'll be fine.
Well, everybody knows the name Asamoah. I mean,
right,
he's obviously still sitting out there on the street, and is the kid from the Bengals, John? Can't think of his last name.
Joseph.
Oh yeah, Jonathan Joseph.
I've not heard that he signed anywhere yet.
All right. Well, but are you surprised at all with the Asamoah thing? I mean, did you think that someone was going to strike while the iron was hot?
No, I still say the same thing, in that if you can't sign the papers until Friday and you're the agent for a premier player, why would you rush it?
Right.
You know, I mean, right now there's multiple players that are in that dance. You know, see how far it was going to go. You know, you're looking, he's going to get the highest contract probably in the NFL, certainly for a non-quarterback position, you know. So,
you know what amazes me is that when you look at the Texans And you know what they can do on the offensive side of the ball. And they're pretty good up front now. They've got to help their secondary. They should have, in my estimation, they should be in more in the mix for the Asamoah. But it doesn't appear that they are if you listen to some of the guys out there reporting.
The one negative thing to getting a guy like that is that if you haven't drafted particularly well and you have multiple needs that you think that you have to have, signing an Asamoah may end up, you know, preventing you from signing two positions of need.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, because that's going to be a ton of money, an absolute ton of money.
15 plus million in salary.
I'm surprised that the Jets are in the conversation, but I think that goes to show you how premium of a position that corner spot is when you got a team like the Jets, which by all means they have the best corner in football, are looking to acquire the second best corner in football. That just goes to show you can't have too many good corners.
How much better would he make that defense? If you have those two corners, one on either side.
It'd be scary. You better learn to run the football against them.
Because you look at their numbers, and nobody throws at either one of them.
The easiest way to think about it, when you have two corners of that caliber, that's going to allow you to play, you know, eight guys in the box, mm-hmm. a lot of cover zeros, and so you're going to stop the run just because of sheer numbers. And when you have two guys that you can put on somebody and say they're out of the equation, there's not a whole lot of options for offenses, and it makes everybody else that much better because it frees them up to do other things.
The one move I didn't like from the Jets was the money that they gave Santonio Holmes. I mean, we're talking $50 million, $10 million guaranteed. I mean, he's a receiver.
Yeah, very but the guaranteed money's not that bad.
Right, but it's very easy to overpay receivers. To me, that's the position that gets overpaid and under.
Well, I guess I was surprised because they're in the mix for Asamoah, at least. Again, that's being reported. Now you give a receiver $10 million. I mean, what can you do with this now? Can you really be a player when Asamoah is going to at least get $15 million in salary?
Mm-hmm.
It's an enormous number. I said this to Loggy earlier. You got the Texans. Tremendous franchise in terms of facilities, cash flow, the marketplace. They've got an explosive offense. They've got a new defensive coordinator in there. I would just think that we would have seen more from them right now.
I get the idea that the Texans think that their pass rush is going to be significantly better with this defense.
And they've got young corners.
And if you've got a very, very, very good pass rush, corner is not as much of a need as it might be perceived.
All right. We'll take our final break, come back, one more segment. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna from Everbank Field in Jacksonville on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. All right, 10 minutes left to go in the show this evening. By the way, we won't debut, but the two-hour show will debut 2 weeks from tonight. Who's going to do that? Cole, Pete, Marco?
Because we'll be on the road somewhere.
Yeah, we're headed to New England 2 weeks from tonight. So
they got the deal done
fast. Here we go. So an hour tonight, obviously, an hour next week.
Is that the first preseason game?
Yeah.
Well, good. Belichick will probably play his guys then.
Thursday the 13th. For how long? How long would you play? How Logs? How would you, as a veteran player, expect camp to be different considering the circumstances of the offseason?
I love it. I mean, holy cow, the rules that they have. You can't have two-day padded practices, you know. You can only have one padded practice. Every, you know, fifth day or whatever it is, they got to have a day off.
Just like Camp Coughlin in 95,
yeah,
right?
A lot of similarities to that. No, I like it. I think it's good. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, my first question was to myself when I heard that they're only allowed to have one padded practice a day is there a time limit on it?
Right. there is a time limit on it. And it struck me as odd, though. I mean, I have to admit, I'm not a big gotta hit every day guy. But when Campman said yesterday in the press conference that basically – the morning practices were sneakers and caps and just basically a walkthrough, mm-hmm. not even shells.
Well, you know,
I'm not Mr. Tough Guy, but that still struck me as odd.
My whole argument has been is that, hey, if you're serious about player safety, if you're serious about protecting and making the players aware of hits to the head and neck area,
mm-hmm.
And concussions, then why in the world would you allow your teams in the league to have whatever they wanted to do in training camp.
Right.
And bang heads day after day after day. And if the commissioner is going to fine guys six-figure amounts for hits to the head and neck area, then wouldn't it be hypocritical to continue to allow 2-a-days? To me, that I've always said that the NFL is kind of still living in the Stone Age from a practice standpoint, and that it can be better utilized and you could still get good work in. And by only having one padded practice a day, I think you can. And I think in some cases it may work out better than coaches even imagine, mm-hmm. because the biggest fear that coaches have always had is that somebody else is going to outwork them.
Right.
Well, hard work sometimes, from a physical standpoint, it can become overkill, and that it hurts you from a negative standpoint, mm-hmm. and that the body wears down. So I like that. I don't necessarily like that you're limited to the number of padded practices that you can have during the week later in the season. I wasn't a big fan of that.
You can only have 14 over the course of the entire season, and I think only 2 in the final 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, I think that sometimes, you know, when you get in the end of the year sometimes and you'd like to go ahead and have still 1 day, you know, to kind of freshen you up a little bit.
Right.
The bye week, you got, 5 consecutive days off, I think mm-hmm. it is. I would have liked to have seen, you know, 3 or 4, you know, mandatory days off in the bye week. But, you know, 5 is a little much. But, you know, it's all livable. You know, it's no big deal. The best part about this deal is that it's 10 years and there is no opt-out. I like that. I wasn't, you know, I know that the union was talking about, you know, having an opt-out at 7 years. Well, then you start getting into the uncertainty when you're dealing with network television and, mm-hmm. and other money-making ideas that could come up down the road, and that you would be – there would be a question mark, you know, a cloud lingering over that 8th, 9th, and 10th year of the deal. And I think this allows the league to really kind of adventure into some endeavors that they might not have been able to get into.
Well, and along those lines, and this one will be largely overlooked, there is no federal oversight by a judge any longer. Any disputes will be settled by an independent mediator that's agreed on by both sides. You know, the owners always felt like when they were drug into Judge David Doty's courtroom in Minneapolis, they were going to lose.
Yeah, the best part about this deal is the length, and that the other thing is from my conversations, is that this deal is very good for franchises like this.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it makes this market more viable. And because the revenue is not like a true total football revenue model that what it used to be. There's a different split for network television. There's a different split for local revenue.
And for business ventures.
That's right.
Buckets, as I think it's been termed.
The big split of the pie comes from network television dollars.
Correct.
And then you have the shared revenue plan with all of the teams in the league, and so that if you are a market that is struggling, you will end up getting some money from the league overall. But from the way I understand it, this is an outstanding deal for this city and for fans of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
As long as they buy tickets.
That's the key.
And it was not a great day at the window today.
No.
So, tickets are available.
Jaguars.com.
633-2000.
And it's hard to overemphasize the importance of that. It is, you know, while Wayne was very happy for the last 4 or 5 days about the deal, but every conversation you had with him, it's a good deal. We have to work hard, but we have to sell tickets, and it's crucial. It's just crucial.
You know, I know that, you know, hopefully a big chunk will hit soon, because there was a lot of people that didn't renew,
right?
Because of the questions that were looming over the labor, you know, deal, and hopefully they'll get on board and get it going. You know, because I mean, trust me, folks, this stadium here today, you know, I haven't been here earlier in the week, and last week we were all here,
yeah.
And it was kind of like a funeral home, and today.
It's football city. It's
like New York City.
Yeah. It's go time.
It's go time. It is. Yeah. It is. You know,
sound like a coach,
sure,
who sat there last night and every answer was, it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time.
He had just gotten done filming that commercial. It's go time. That's you.
Yeah.
John Go Osher.
John Go Time Osher.
Well, the best part is, you know, from a ticket standpoint, it's a great schedule. I mean, you know, a couple years ago when the NFC East was on the schedule and wasn't a great sell.
Yeah.
This is a great schedule, and compared to last year, this is much better.
Two home Monday nights against the Ravens in late October and the Chargers in early December. Plus, you get Tennessee at home on 9/11 to open the season out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's...
And this is, you know, fans locally sometimes don't see the forest for the trees. This is a good, growing, young team that's starting to do things the right way. Or it has been for some time and just getting better with it. It's worth supporting.
There you go, folks. 633-2000, the ticket office number. So I think we all expect that there is more to come on the free agent front.
Oh, it's coming. I mean, it's coming. There's no doubt in my mind that there's plenty of work that's going to be done in free agency, and some of it may just make your jaw hit the table. I have a feeling that something of that nature may come.
What about Mercedes? How long until Mercedes is in camp? Can they get that deal done?
Yeah.
10 touchdowns.
Yeah, they'll get
year.
It done. I mean, they've got the money. You know, hopefully both sides are going to be reasonable. In my opinion, I think he's the best complete tight end in football when it comes to blocking and receiving. He deserves to be paid as one of the top tight ends in the game. And if you ask Gene Smith that, he wouldn't back away from it because he is a complete tight end. You know, and the good thing is I think a general manager like Gene Smith appreciates what Mercedes does mm-hmm. besides the numbers. Because he's a guy that is an outstanding pass protector, maybe their best pass protector, period, looking at all the offensive linemen. I mean, there's only one guy that I've ever seen that can block Dwight Freeney one-on-one, for the most part, and that's been Mercedes. When Mercedes blocked Dwight Freeney one-on-one, he was one of the few that could handle him.
His situation is different, too, isn't it? If they say they signed him Friday – he doesn't have to wait till Thursday to play?
I believe that is
because he signed his franchise tender.
Yes.
That sounds correct.
So he is actively on the roster.
He can start immediately.
If he doesn't show for the team meeting, and he's not here, it's a holdout because he signed the tender.
Right.
So at this point, it's a matter of when they can get a deal done for him, and he's going to be paid amongst the highest paid players. Hey, look, when Eric Weddle becomes the highest paid safety in the game, Mercedes Lewis, rightfully so, and Bus Cook, his agent, can say, why wouldn't you make us the highest paid tight end in the game if we're the complete tight end?
The money has once again, the stratospheres have changed. I mean, the expectations have changed. I mean, they do every year, but it's, you know.
Logs, you were born too early.
I'm not complaining.
No, you're right. All right, folks, that'll do it for our show. Don't forget, Florida Blue Night tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, as training camp opens here at Everbank Field. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, Jaguars open the preseason in New England. Have a great night, everybody.